In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Tell me if this has ever happened to you. I think it's happened to all of us, either as a child or as an adult. You have pined for a gift, a Barbie, a remote control car, a special sweater, that cookware that you've always wanted, or maybe some power tools. You know the gift I'm talking about. In the old days, you would cruise by it in the store more than once. Now we just stock it online. And we start dropping it in conversations around family members, sometimes in July, August, just, you know, to make sure they know what it is. And then the day comes. Maybe it's Christmas or your birthday or some other great occasion, and the gift is there, and you're so excited, and then, well, then it wasn't really all you hoped it would be. Like, now you have too many Barbies and not enough Kens, or your remote control car doesn't really move as quickly and as agilely as it showed in the commercial, or the sweater that you thought was going to be so chic is so itchy you can barely stand to have it on for 5 minutes, even though it looks really cute. Or the cookware and the tools are too big or too small, or you don't have the right space to store them. I don't know what it is that made the gift go south for you, but it happens as our expectations are not necessarily met. And it's kind of what happened with John the Baptist. Now, let's go back to last week. We heard John out in the wilderness preaching fire and brimstone repentance, and he called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees for being duplicitous in how they followed the Torah, the law, and he foretold the coming of Jesus as written in the prophet Isaiah. John does a great job preaching that our lives of sin should lead us to repentance. And last week, John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John knows exactly what he wants in a Messiah. And you can see him pining for this fiery Messiah who's going to come and make the world right. The Messiah who's going to set everyone straight with his strong arm, who will show a resolve that is evident to the emperors that he is mighty. This Messiah will sort out who is naughty and nice. And woe to those who have not followed a life of repentance. John desperately waits for this Messiah to arrive. And today, when we hear Jesus talking to John's disciple in the first part of that gospel, we realize John didn't exactly get what he thought he was getting. You see, John had waited and prepared and preached the coming of the Messiah. He had been telling everybody. And when the Messiah arrived, he didn't act the way that John expected or even really wanted or desired. It's kind of like getting that sweater you wanted, and then you just start scratching, and you realize it's not what you wanted. And where we pick up the story today, John has actually been sent to jail, and he hears what Jesus is doing, and he's so confused that he sends his disciples, because John is wondering, well, where's that turbo boost that I was promised? And so he says, go and ask this guy if he really is the one who we've been waiting for. And Jesus looks at John's disciples and says, go and tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Maybe on second thought, that's the true work of the Messiah, not necessarily might, fire, and winnowing forks. The work of the Messiah is not to beat up everyone who misbehaves, not to cast out those who fail, but rather to be present, to bring the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of justice, the kingdom of hope, the kingdom of love to those who need it most. Jesus, as the Messiah, brings a new way of being, a new way of ordering our life, a new way of loving one another. Much like those gifts that we receive that don't live up to our expectation, Jesus actually surpasses anything John could have imagined, which says a lot about the expectations that we continue to put on Jesus to this day and the followers of Jesus. How many times have you heard, "Well, she doesn't act like a Christian," or "That wasn't a very Christian thing to say," or "This is my favorite, this one just gets under my skin and stands up. I can't be part of some organized religion where the people say one thing and do another." Really? Really? Sometimes I think that stating that you are a Christian is like being that expected gift that just ends up disappointing. And the world is full of prophets like John who are ready to point a finger or to ask demanding questions of our actions. But like Jesus, that judgment is not to stop us from our task. We are not Jesus, just in case you were wondering. Therefore, we will not be perfect. We will disappoint and we will fail. But as followers of Jesus, that doesn't stop us. As followers of Jesus, we're called to continue to bring that kingdom of God. We're called to continue to care for the least of these, to bring good news to the poor, to food to the hungry, care for the sick. Just as Jesus didn't let John's expectations and questions stop him, neither are we to stop when we don't live up to someone else's expectations, much less those that we impose on ourselves. Following Jesus is transformative. That single Barbie without a Ken, she's now running her own business and doesn't really have a lot of time for dating. The remote control car that didn't go so fast, that with a few other disappointing electronics, has been turned into a robot in the garage on a Saturday afternoon. The cookware that you didn't like, well, that got handed down to a recent college grad who is moving into an apartment for the first time. The tools that didn't quite fit in your garage, they've been used on Habitat for Humanity builds. The itchy sweater, that one I don't know what to do with, but I am sure one of the knitters in the congregation could give you suggestions. Jesus transforms. And during Advent, during these short 4 weeks of lighting our candles and waiting, we prepare ourselves once again for the transformation of our hearts and the transformation of our lives. Jesus may not always deliver the message in a way that makes sense to us, like if you ever read the parables, that's a good place to start. But Jesus' message, even when it's not what we expect or how we expect it. Jesus' message is clear and consistent. The kingdom of God is here and now and yet to come. And it's our work, to continue to bring about the kingdom and to simply be a gift to others. Amen.